All right, before we go into the Word this morning and into our message, let's have a quick prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning and we ask your blessings on each of us gathered here this morning. We thank you for the ability to be present in your life and in your presence this morning here in this beautiful place we call the chapel. Lord, we ask that you bless the Word that we read and also the message that has been provided this morning. Lord, we thank you for allowing us the opportunity to follow you and be your disciples. Be with us now as we join in celebration in word and deed and action together as Christians in this beautiful place. All these things we ask in our living Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So this is perhaps the shortest opening scripture I've ever read. It's two verses. It's out of the Old Testament. I read you the New Testament version of it with the children. And it's two verses this morning, and it's Deuteronomy 32, 11, and 12. And let's see what the Lord has to say here. Like an eagle that rouses her chicks and hovers over her young, so he spread his wings to take them up and carried them safely on his pinions. The Lord alone guided them. They followed no foreign gods. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, this morning, I welcome all of our guests to the chapel in the woods. I welcome you to Bethel Presbyterian Church. And we are forever grateful for your presence with us this morning. And given the opportunity, we would love to see you back. And so, last week's service was very touching for me and moving as we celebrated our mothers. And last week I spoke about the inner core of a mother. And in that inner core, I think I used the words zeal, strength, love, tenacity, kindness, and courage. All of these things come from the inner cores of our mothers. This week, while traveling, or actually prior to this week while traveling, I had the distinct pleasure of seeing a bald eagle in the wild. And I've seen them before, but as I prepared the Mother's Day message, as well as today's and actually next week's, it's a three-part sermon package or message package. And as I saw this bald eagle, it touched me differently than before. As you likely know, we have several mating pairs here now in our area. And so as spring fades into summer, you're likely going to see them more. So I encourage each of you that when you do see them, stop and take a moment and soak in their grandeur. They are magnificent creatures of God. Their strength and beauty are displayed simply through their mannerisms, their flights, their landings, their takeoffs, and even yet in their hunt. If you can see them hunt, that is a spectacular practice. Only something that you can, when you watch it happen, you know God is present in their creation. Over the next 2 weeks, I have felt called to speak to you on three incredible characteristics of our faith. Especially characteristics of those who, like all of you, follow Jesus Christ. All three of these characteristics Jesus possessed himself. And each of those characteristics we also possess, but we've inherited them. We have them through possession, but we've inherited them from our parents, and especially our mothers. The three characteristics I'm referencing is love, strength, and courage. Throughout our lives, we display them in many different forms. As Christians, we are called to display our strength on many occasions. And sometimes we are called to do this when we have not the means or the energy to even muster up an ounce of. As we approach a very special holiday here at the end of May, many men and women who have served our great nation have displayed those same characteristics of their faith in their actions. In service to something, we need all three of these characteristics. And to serve our nation, all three were needed, as many of them died defending the nation and the freedoms we enjoy. But I'll go back just a second and say, in our service to something, we need all three of these characteristics: love, strength, and courage. No one in our lives, no one serves us any closer or any better than our mothers and our fathers. And regardless of whether you've adorned a uniform of public service or you've been a public servant of any sort, especially a member of our military services as we begin to flow into Memorial Day weekend, regardless of those things, if you are a mother, a father, a grandfather, a grandmother, an uncle, an aunt, you are in service to Christ through your service to your family. As Christians, we are called again to display that strength all the time, even in the most private moments of our lives, inside the security of our homes. And with that said, I've given away two remaining topics I will be speaking on leading up to next week's service. Love was obviously last week as we spoke about our moms. Strength is today. And courage we will speak about next week. So again, while planning this three-part message, lo and behold, here comes this eagle. You know, there's no greater symbolism of strength than an eagle. And I think that's why we have characterized the eagle as our national bird. And on many occasions, we see portraits of the eagle in strength. This encounter with this eagle, although brief but beautiful, solidified my decision to speak on love, strength, and courage in this three-part message: Mother's Day, today, and Memorial Day weekend. So, using the eagle as the catalyst of this morning's message, I share with you that the Bible uses eagles in many illustrations. In fact, Jeremiah tells us that the eagle builds their nest on the lofty rocks. Job tells us that the eagles have keen eyesight and can see at great distances. Ezekiel tells us that the eagle is a large bird. And if you've ever seen one up close, Ezekiel is exactly right. They are magnificent and huge. 2 Samuel tells us that the eagle is swift. They are also that as well. Isaiah 40:31 speaks to our patience in the Lord. And here's what these words say. Listen to this. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And Psalms 91:4 speaks about our trust in the Lord. Listen to these words. He will cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings, the wings of an eagle, shall we trust. Now I want you to actually take 91:4, make a mark somewhere in your Bible, write it on your hand, write it on your husband's shirt sleeve, I don't care how you get it down. Put this on your refrigerator, because I want to read it to you again. He will cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall we trust. But the passage I want to reference this morning is what we've previously read in Scripture. In Deuteronomy 32:11-12. Like an eagle that rouses her chicks and hovers over her young, so he spreads his wings to take them up and carry them safely on his pinions. all of these verses speak of eagles. In fact, it appears, if you study them a little bit, it speaks about the family, the nucleus of the bird. Both the mother and the father are in part of this nucleus. You see, they built their nest high on the cliff edge. The little eaglets have hatched and are growing. And they're not little by any stretch of the imagination. They are when they're born, but they quickly grow. And it's amazing how big they are. They're bigger than most birds that are flying in these trees today as eaglets. But yet, they've never flown. The eagles have a responsibility. The mother and father pair have a responsibility to their young, much like the father and the mother have a responsibility to each one of us. The mother broods over the young for a while, but there must come a time in the eaglet's life when the mother eagle must begin to stir the nest a bit. According to the bird experts, eagles build their nest first out of rough sticks. And then they carefully line it with mud and leaves, and then they often will take out on a killing mission and kill a small animal like a rabbit or a squirrel and use the fur to finish lining the nest to make it soft and plush. When the mother eagle stirs the nest, the mother will take that soft lining out of the nest, and that night the eaglets have to sleep on that old cold mud and those rough sticks. A few days later, while the eaglets are out on the rock face, warming themselves, doing their things, whatever little baby eaglets do, the mother will take her powerful wings and sweep that nest completely off the side of the cliff. That night, then, the baby eaglets, along with the mother, will sleep on that old, cold, hard stone, the face of the cliff. You know, this is similar to the talk that your parents have with you around 18 or 20 years old while still living at home. I've had that conversation with my parents, and I'm sure you had it with yours, but it sounds something like this. When they say, well, it's about time you pony up. You start paying your way. Pay some of the bills for your stay. It's time you start pulling your own weight, perhaps, might be in a quote. It's the grown-up talk. And the talk that begins the future of the rest of our lives. Getting back to the eagles, a few days later, the father eagle, after the nest is gone, will take one of those little eagles on the rock, and he'll put him on his back and take off. And he'll fly to a great height in the air. And just about the time that baby eagle thinks, man, what a beautiful place. What a great ride, Dad. Thanks a lot. The father eagle will dive, and out from underneath the eaglet, he comes, and the eaglet begins to fall. Yes, that's correct. The dad swoops out from underneath that eaglet and allows him to fall and tumble to the earth. You know, this is kind of similar to driving when you learn to get your driver's permit. And you're on your own for the first time. Your independence is so important, but now you've always wanted it. But then you actually ask yourself, can I really handle it? As the eaglet struggles to remain aloft in the air, its natural instinct is to begin to flap its wings. And it does so. To no avail, though. She can't fly, he can't fly. However, the first flight they take, in the eaglet's mind, looks to be their last, but it's not. This is the important part of the message, because the father eagle has never left them as they tumble. Let me repeat that. Dad is right there with them. Just about the time the eaglet thinks, well, this is it. Here comes earth faster than I can fly. The father eagle swoops underneath the eaglet and catches him. And this puts him again on his back, catches him on the back of his breast of wings, and takes him back up in the clouds. And this process is repeated over and over and over again. Some may think this is terrible, and some of you are probably looking at me going, Derek, what in the world does this have to do with our strength and our faith? Well, to answer that, you must know that as this process is repeated with the baby eaglets over and over, each and every time the father flies out from underneath that baby, the baby eaglet flies further and further each time before the father has to dive underneath of him to catch him. In short, the eaglet builds strength, and in the end, through this process of dad letting him go and catching him and letting him go and catching him, through this process, he learns to completely fly on his own. So the example is, much like the eaglet, it too is like our lives, especially in our Christian walk of faith. Friends, make no mistake, God stirs our nest. In fact, we see God doing this in many stories of the Bible. I call your attention to Moses, Paul, and most importantly, Job. And the list can go on and on. The process is purposeful. As young people, we grow when we are challenged. As I told the children this morning, when they know they can't do something or they feel called and challenged to succeed, they gather their own strength. As Christians, we grow when we are persecuted and when we are doubted. Our growth is a direct result of our strength. We learned in Bible study this week that when we are weak, we are strong. When we are weak, we are strong. This goes without saying, but God always does exactly what He says He'll do. God makes no promise He can't keep. He keeps every one of them. Just one chapter back in Deuteronomy, if you go back and study when you leave this place today, if you go back and read Deuteronomy 31, God says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. The Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you, even in your darkest hour." That's the promise of God. Our God is not a God of false promises. There is no way you can study this word. There's no way you can live by this Bible and follow this word and know that in the Old Testament, of all of the promises and all of the prophecies, every single one of them was fulfilled in the New Testament. And as Christians, we live here today, we seek here today, yet another promise that those present do not have. It's eternal life. And if you believe that the promises and the prophecy are fulfilled in the New Testament from the Old, then make no mistake, the promises of eternal life are also as true. These two precious verses Moses speaks of, or actually he's reciting a song, should offer you great certainty this morning that God's protection and guidance is with you. As we live in service to our Lord, God will protect and guide us toward a life filled with joy and freedom. Yes, sometimes it's difficult, but remember, God, like the father eagle, has never left you. Even though you struggle, and some of us this very day are struggling, but even though you struggle sometimes, and most of the time you can't see Him, but as Scripture promises, and as the eagle does, God never loses His keen eye on you. He has you in His vision each and every day. This morning I can say, using the previous men I cited earlier, Moses and Paul and Job, that God has been good to us. And we are blessed because of it. You may say, "Derek, sometimes I don't think I can make it. I don't understand how I can keep on going." I can't do this anymore. Life's too tough. Well, believe me, I hear you. I feel your pain. There are days that I've been right there with you. And there are likely days to come that I'll feel the same way you do this morning. But let me remind each of you, those are times when God's stirring our nest. In these times, reflect back to what you know. Trust in what you believe and simply hold on. You see, if you can only hold on with your thumb and your index finger, much like the children did at the flower pot, but I turned that flower pot into Christ's garment. When the Father shows up, He picks you up. And all you're holding on is by a pinch. Just a pinch. But trust in that pinch. For you are under the wings of God, declares Scripture. I use this term a lot. God is good every day, and every day God is good. I say that many times. I've written it on a Facebook message. I talk to a lot of people during the week, and that's one of the things I always try to say. God is good every day, and every day God is good. And some of them look at me like, so what? I don't understand what you're saying. So it means nothing to me. Well, here's what I'm trying to say. God is good even when He's stirring your nest. Or when He dives out from underneath of you. Because that's where you're going to build your strength. Look at it this way. You would never know the feeling of the everlasting arms of a heavenly Father lifting you and saving you from your own destruction, your own fear, or your own burdens unless God stirs the nest every once in a while. Today, depending on where we are in life, some of us are still in the nest. We are baby Christians. Some of us are being stirred in the nest. Thus, we are growing, and it's time for us to face some battles and some struggles and some new day. Others of us seem to be falling. Thus, we are out of the nest. In these times, it seems like God has forgotten us. This is rough. These are rough roads. They're hard to travel because it looks like you're going to crash on the rocks below. And maybe in your prayers throughout the past week or the weeks previous or even the weeks to come, you say, Lord, help me. Please help me. Well, let me say this to you. Be mindful of why the adult eagle stirs the nest and swoops from underneath their offspring. It's for their own good. It's to teach the eaglets to master flight. It is the only way to get those eaglets strong enough and mature enough to be adults, to be prepared to raise their own families, and to live in the nucleus of that flock. I can imagine what is going through the mind of that baby eaglet when his dad swoops out from underneath of him. He's thinking, what have I done wrong to deserve this? And thanks, Dad, where are you going? Let me leave you with this thought. Friends, there are going to be times when it seems like there is no hope. There are going to be times when it seems like your struggles are greater than you are. I've got close friends that may feel that way today. There will be times when you think, there's no way through this because you've simply lost control. But just at the right time, just before it looks like you're going to smash on those rocks of trouble and defeat, God reaches down His hand and lifts you up and says, to us, to you and to me, to all of his children. Hey, I'm just teaching you to fly a little bit. Then he carries you for a while you're weary. He picks you up, and there's only one pair of footprints in the sand. Here's your takeaway. Never once, and I say this to each and every one of you, but I say it to two very close friends of mine. Never once did Moses, Job, Paul, or the eaglet lose their trust in the Father. Not once. In all their trials and tribulations, and even in their falls, never once did they lose their trust. Thus, I am called to remind each and every one of you from whence your strength comes. The power of God is almighty, and with that said, the young eaglet cannot fall faster than the father can fly. Never forget that. The young eaglet cannot fall faster to the ground than father can fly to catch him. And the same applies to me and to you. You and I cannot fall beneath the reach of the loving hand of God Almighty. We cannot. No matter our struggles. Because in Him, in our trust, we have strength. And that's where our strength comes from. In ourselves, friends, I ask the children the difference about the question of when we are weak, we are strong. Well, here it is. In ourselves, we are weak. In Him, we are strong, even in our toughest moments. Thus, we can fly, because in Christ, the rocks never appear, only the blue sky. And I remind you with this one very important part. Remember, even in our own death, we ascend, we do not fall. Amen.